anyone.
Welcome to Women's Tevot Shalom on the Parsha. We're starting with Parshat Ki Tetze. I picked a shorter piece for this week for two reasons. One, we almost never get through the whole piece anyway. It's something you get to take home and finish with you in the house on Shabbos. But also because I just wanted to give a little bit of a brief introduction to Tevot Shalom, to Chassidut, what it is, what's going on. Chassidut is an entirely different type of limud of learning than any other area of Torah. Background, there are four primary levels of Torah that we are familiar with from Chazal. We refer to it as Pardes, or which opens up to Pshat, Remez, Drash, and Sod. Pshat is a simple understanding of the text. Drash is exegesis, or what we refer to basically as the Talmud, right? That's our Drash, this word, Midrashim, Chazal, that's all on the level of Drash. Sod is a way of saying Kabbalah, basically. And Remez is generally understood in a simple way to be hints in the text to the Sod. Meaning, what does Sod mean literally? It doesn't mean Kabbalah. What does Sod mean literally? It's not a question. It's a secret, yeah. It's a secret. How do you know a secret? When somebody tells you. But when somebody tells you that secret, suddenly you see it everywhere, right? You didn't know something. And like somebody tells you a secret about somebody else. And you're like, then you look at them and like you see it. Like suddenly like it all makes sense. So when you hear the Sod, when you hear the secret, Remez is the part of Torah where once you know the Sod, you're actually able to see it emanate from the Torah itself. That's Pshat, Remez, Drash, and Sod. And the importance of emphasizing that is that all of those areas of Torah, they all have to emanate from the text. Pshat, when you read the Mefarshim in your Mikra Ogdolot, they're all reading into the text on a level of Pshat. Chazal are reading into the text on a level of Drash. Right? They're reading into the text, and we struggle sometimes with Gemara, with Ma'amari, Chazal. How did they really read that into the words? But they're reading the words based on the tools of Drash. Sod is a secret. Sod is Kabbalah. Sod, Kabbalah, we talked about the meaning of a word. Kabbalah actually means to receive. Kabbalah assumably needs to be received from an external source, but it needs to be able to be read into and linked into the text. So the first thing to recognize is that when we talk about, we'll get how the link between Kabbalah and Chassidut in a second, when we're reading Sod, when we're reading on these levels of Torah, it's another way of legitimately reading the text on a different level. It's not something that somebody just made up and thought that it was a nice idea and fit Judaism and put down onto paper and printed a book, right? It's a different way of reading the text, legitimately based on one of the levels of Torah. What is Chassidut then? So it's a historical phenomenon. Historically speaking, we went through a very a dark period in our history, which was that of Shabtai Tzvi. Shabtai Tzvi, we're paraphrasing history here a little bit, but for the sake of simplicity, Shabtai Tzvi came along. He was considered a Messiah. People thought he was Mashiach. People actually packed up their bags and started traveling to Jerusalem ready for the Beit HaMikdash to come down from Shemayim. Then he converted to Islam when the pressure became very hard, and that was pretty much the end of that. Although some were such diehard Shabtai Tzvinics that they also converted to Islam to help go deep into the Klipa and be Metahir the Klipa. If you recognize some of those words as Kabbalistic words, that's because he was steeped in Kabbalah. Good Kabbalah, bad Kabbalah, real Kabbalah, not real Kabbalah, that's not really our question right now. But that made people very frightened of Kabbalah. And so particularly in Ashkenazic communities, they said, we don't ever want to see anything like this again, and they ripped Kabbalah out of our tradition and saved it just for Yechidei Skula, just for specific individual people who it was safe for them to engage that type of text, that type of learning. Over time, that created a somewhat dry Judaism, right? We took out a part of Judaism. I'm not going to judge in my small place whether what they did was good or bad, but historically speaking, we lost something very big. I would claim that we actually lost something bigger than we even realized. Meaning, if we look at Pardes as four parts of Torah, Pshat, Remez, Drash, and Sod, we could say that they're each 25% of Torah. I don't think it actually works like that. Really, I think each part of Torah is like 10% of Torah, or 15% of Torah.
And then together
they create what's referred to in music, or Fekiva Tatz talks about this in other contexts, an emergent phenomenon where if you take each individual instrument, they all sound a certain way, and they're very nice, but they don't sound the same on their own. When you put them together, suddenly it becomes emergent, something greater than itself emerges. The whole is greater than its individual parts. And so when we removed part of Torah, we didn't just reduce it by 25%. I think that on a certain level we reduced it by 45% or 70%. And suddenly Torah became impoverished in a way where people weren't relating to it anymore. Came along the Baal Shem Tov, and he said, we need to bring Kabbalah back. But we needed to bring it back in a way that people who are distant from it can relate to it again. And so the difference is, somebody once put it to me, I don't forget who told this to me, but I really like it, it's a nice way of just phrasing it, in between Kabbalah and Chassidut, is that Kabbalah brings man up to Shemayim. Chassidut was an attempt to bring Shemayim down to man. And so it was a way to try to bring Kabbalah to the masses in a way that they could understand, that they could relate to, that they could engage. It's still not exactly the same as having your tradition steeped in Kabbalah. You said you were Persian, Sephardic tradition. So like, when you read through a Sephardic Siddur, a Sefer Halacha, a Sefer Hashkot, it doesn't matter what it is, there's no bifurcation there, there's no differentiation there. And you see that they're just kind of shift modes, like there's an emphasis on one over the other, but they're all there. There's no fear of mentioning a Kabbalistic word or mentioning a Pshat word or a Drash word. And they all are still intertwined in the way they were meant to be. But in Ashkenazic tradition, they became totally separated. And when it was reintroduced as a new thing. So Chassidut is different. It's different than just Sephardi Kabbalah. It's different than Ashkenazi Kabbalah, for that matter. It's Chassidus. It's a whole different phenomenon that emerged as an incredibly dominant phenomenon in Jewish culture that now every seminary you go to, every yeshiva you go to, everybody's learning Kabbalah. Unfortunately, everybody's learning Kabbalah. You can have things like a Kabbalah center. You can have some things like pop Kabbalah, which in itself is a contradiction in terms. Like, there's no such thing. But like, Kabbalah's come back in that way because there's a certain excitement that comes from it that was missing, that people are engaging into. We're almost at Netivot Shalom. When Chassidus came back, came about in and of itself, and then over generations, there became many different strains of Chassidut, it was meant to be more accessible to the masses. However, as we get farther and farther away from our Sinai, and farther away from the Baal Shem Tov, historically, either way, you know, we call Yiridat HaDorot. So even the terminology used in Sifrei Chassidut very often closes off Sifrei Chassidut to us. They're not engageable. They're very difficult to relate to. And one of the Chidushim of Netivot Shalom, which was written in the past generation, was that he actually brought it down one more level, so that way anybody in our generation could open up a Sefer Chassidut and learn Chassidut. I like to call it like the gateway drug of Chassidus, right? It's the way to really you could just enter into Chassidut. It's your entryway, it's your doorway into Chassidus. This is the way to be able to get in. It's a beautiful, beautiful Sefer that can give you that entrance to Chassidus. The second thing that he does, which is very powerful, is in almost every piece he always uses the phrase of Al Derech HaAvoda. He says we're learning these very deep, beautiful philosophical ideas that he will, as we talked about before, always link back to text. It has to emerge from the text on a level of sod that emerge from the text. But how do I make that practical in my life? How do I bring that into my Avodas Hashem every day? How do I make that real? It's not just out there ideas. It's out there ideas that I want to bring into my life. And he takes it Al Derech HaAvoda. Those are the two things that I at least would like to point out that are unique about the Netivot Shalom. The only thing that makes Netivot Shalom a book that's closed off to people are Roshei Tevot. He happens to use an incredible amount of acronyms. Where a Roshei Tevot is when you take the first letter of a few words, you squeeze them together, you put a quotation mark before the last letter of the word, and you call that five words, and you're just supposed to understand what it means. And if you even look at the page in front of you, there are numerous ones, even just on the first page that's sitting there. He constantly uses Roshei Tevot. The good news is that we're all going to learn this together, and even after one semester, most of the Roshei Tevot that he uses will just get down and be used to and become familiar with. At this point, I don't even see the Roshei Tevot anymore. I just see the words. Like, they just open up. Like, it's something which, after a certain amount of time, you just get used to, and it makes it engageable. Any questions about a very, very brief and condensed overview of Kabbalah, Chassidut, and Netivot Shalom? Any questions, thoughts, concerns? Good?
Yeah.
Cool. So now we know what we're walking into. So let's see a piece. You had a comment for you?
I kind of like don't understand why they made it like, okay, we can't learn Kabbalah, and then all of a sudden it became totally okay. Like, who decided that it was wrong, that it was so wrong that you can't do it, and then all of a sudden it's okay?
In a very reactionary way, the Gedolei Hador, it wasn't just like some guy. The Gedolei Hador agreed that Kabbalah was so dangerous, if it could lead to Shabtai Tzvi, if it could be misused in that way that could break the spirit of a generation of Jews, then it needed to be put on the side. It needed to be, or rather, buried a little bit deeper, so that way only the right people had access to it. But it wasn't made by an individual, and it wasn't made by just any group of right. people. It was made by Gedolei Hador.
Right.
Now, when the Baal Shem Tov said, I'm going to start to bring down Kabbalah again and translate it for the masses, which was like the worst case scenario for those people who didn't want Kabbalah for the masses, right. He met a lot of opposition. In Hebrew, the word for opposition is to be keneged somebody, opposite somebody, which is how you get a group called the misnagdim, the mitnagdim. They define themselves as being against Hasidus, and the Jewish world split. There are those people who would not touch this, even those who were steeped in Kabbalah, which is people often don't understand. People who were deep Kabbalists were against Hasidus because they felt it shouldn't be accessed by the masses. But there was the Baal Shem Tov, who was somebody with tremendous shoulders, said, no, this is something which didn't happen, and it caught on because he was who he was. And it caught on because it is what it is. So there still is a split. Usually modern-day misnagdim who are not Rabbanim or Gedoli Hador or, you know, like big people of the generation, they're just people who like to bash Chassidus because they like to bash Chassidus. They don't really know what they're talking about. That's why I wanted to clarify. Like, Chassidus often gets a bad rap because basically it's like, oh, I found something nice to say that I thought of when I was looking at the Parsha, and I'm going to call it Chassidus and give it over at my friend's vort. Right? That's where it gets a bad name from. That's not what Chassidus is. That's what we emphasized at the beginning. Chassidus is a legitimate reading of the text al pi sod, translated in a way that it's accessible, which we call Chassidus. But not everybody is comfortable with that, and there are those who don't learn Chassidus out of Yom HaZeh. Even if they learn Kabbalah. They don't disagree that Kabbalah exists. Mm-hmm. Even if they learn Kabbalah, will not learn Chassidus because they believe that it's not what the Torah was meant to be. But historically, I mean, the world is steeped in Chassidus now, and it seems to be something which our generation is desperately seeking.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Cool. Okay. So let's take a look at a piece. A seemingly benign halacha sitting in the middle of this week's parsha. Ki tifne bayit chadash v'asita ma'agel agagecha. When a person builds a new house, they should make a fence for their roof. That's a halacha lamase. A person is actually chayef to do that. That if a person does buy a new house, get a new house, build a new house, that if they have any a balcony or any part of the roof that has access to, you have a chiyuv to build a fence around the roof, lest somebody, as the pasuk continues on and says, lest somebody fall off your roof and die. It's just good safety tips. Right? That are halacha in the Chumash. So it says, Kihivne bayit chadash v'asita ma'agel agagecha. When a person builds a new house, he has to build a fence around his roof. V'lo tasim damim beveitecha, ki yipol anofel mimenu. And he shouldn't have any blood in his house, meaning when somebody dies, ki yipol anofel mimenu, when the fallen one falls from his house. And there's a fascinating hashkafic discussion that we're not going to get into about what does it mean when the fallen one falls off his roof. Didn't he only fall because he fell off my roof? If I would have had a fence on my roof, wouldn't he not have been the fallen one? And Rashi goes into it there, and that's actually a big hashkafic discussion in different forum, but he's going to take it in a different direction. But just worth noting that that's a very powerful pasuk. Ki yipol anofel mimenu. So he says, b'pshat ha-pasuk, makshim madua ne'emra mitzvah ma'akeh dafke b'vayit chadash. So on a simple level, again, he's asking textual questions. He's quoting you the pasuk first and asking a question on text. His answer may be out there because he's learning it in a different way than we're used to, but he's giving a pasuk and asking a question, the same way a Rishon would. He's asking a question. B'pshat ha-pasuk, we have to understand, what does it mean that you have to build, that there's a chiyuv to build a fence only if your house is new? Why does the pasuk phrase it only if you build a new house? It should be any house. Who cares if it's a new house or not? V'kein sarich be'or, madua ne'emra mitzvat ma'akeh dafka l'gagecha. Why does it specifically say that you have to build a fence around your roof? Har yu adin libor l'chol davar she'iziko matzoi. This is true also of a pit, or anything where you can possibly fall into. Meaning this halacha has broader applications. Why does the, and that's again what Drash does. We take this pasuk and we expand that on a level of Drash to understand what are the halacha ramifications on a broad scale. He's saying, but okay, that's fine, but why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he wrote the Torah, he was giving us multiple layers of meaning and understanding, multiple messages, multiple layers, pshat, rabim, shash, and sod. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. If you write something, it's infinite. So if he phrased it like this, what did he mean? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, when you build a new house, build a fence for your roof? That's a question on a pasuk. So he says, Vish Lamar, as we said, and I picked this piece 5 minutes before we started. But this is how Devot Shalom works. Vish Lamar al Derech Avoda. What does it mean in terms of our Avodas Hashem? Al Pi Ma'amar Maran on Marinu Verabinu, Bevet Abraham Yizichotoy again a little apasuk. Right, that was actually like 20 words in three words. That Admor is Adoninu Morinu Verabinu, which is just a way of saying Harav Hagadol, like in a much more strong and flowery way. The Beit Avraham is a book of primary sources of the Rebbeim of Slonim, which is this strain of Chassidus comes from Slonim or Chassidus. Zichotoy again, Alino, their skos should be upon us. Allah pasuk about the pasuk Yazov Rasha Darko. So the pasuk says that a Rasha, an evil person, should abandon his ways, abandon his path. So in the base Avram, it says, Hainu, shelo dai sheyaaseh tshuva al prat ze o acher. Sometimes it's not enough for a person to do tshuva on this detail, on that detail, on this thing, on that thing. Sometimes it's not enough. Ela iznach legamrei et haderech shehalachba. A person needs to totally abandon the whole path that he or she is on. Ad kova yikach atzmo liderech chadasha, to the point where they take themselves to a whole new path. There are times in life where we can fix, and there are times in life when we just need to abandon the path that we're on and start a new path. V'zeu perush kitiv nebayit chadash. This is what the pasuk is talking about when it tells us kitiv nebayit chadash. When you're building yourself a new house, you're not doing shiputzim. You're not fixing up your house. What happens when you need to go and you need to build yourself a new house? Kashir Yehudi ro'eh, when a person sees kol mi'utom mufrechet, when he sees that his whole way, the whole way the person's acting, that their whole way is off, and they need to start from scratch. And what good is it going to do tshuva on this aspect or that aspect? All right, when we come to Elul and we're feeling a little bit down, and we're really taking a good hard look at ourselves, and we feel like there's a lot to change here. Do I fix it? Do I go and start something new? And a person decides, no, I want to build a new house. It's time to build new. It's time to start fresh. It's time to start clean. It's time to clear house and start fresh. Livnot et kol milutom echadash, to build his whole essence from scratch. Atzato v'asita ma'agel agagecha. Torah is giving us some good advice. If you decide that you want to abandon your ways and start fresh and build yourself a new house, make sure you build a fence around your roof. What does he mean? Mirameis l'midat ha-yir'ah. It's hinting to the aspect, to the mida, to the character trait of yira, of fear, of awe. Kid'ita that the word me'akeh, that the word me'akeh itself, if you take the numerical value of each letter of the word me'akeh, which means fence, im ha'kolel, which means that if you put all of those letters together, they need to be unified into one, and the fact that you're unifying those letters into one allows you, according to this type of gematria, to add one to the total number, which is an indication of it being one full unit, that the word is not just its disparate elements. It's called im ha-kolel. So it's the numerical value of the word plus one. That if you take that gematria, im ha-kolel, me'akeh, you get the gematria yir'ah. It's the same gematria as yir'ah. What does that mean? Which is what yira is. It's setting up fences. It's setting up borders and boundaries. When we have awe, when we have fear, when we're trying to keep ourselves, we're afraid we're going to fall. We're afraid we're going to mess up. We have fear. We have a yirat Hashem on a level of even just fear of sin, and we put up those fences around ourselves. That when you're building a whole new path, make sure you build those fences. Make sure you build that new house with yira. Make sure you build yourself up with yira. That the only way that a person can overcome whatever desires they have on a physical level that they want to overcome, the only way to do that is through the midah of yira. Because ahava, what's ahava? What's chesed? Ahava is all about an outpouring of love. The definition of chesed, the definition of chesed itself actually is, we often think of it as loving kindness, but in its source, in its root, the definition of chesed is not loving kindness. The definition of chesed is going above and beyond your boundaries. I'm going outside my boundaries. That's why in Sefer Vayikra it says that it's a chesed that a person shouldn't have relations with their sister. It's not a chesed, that's something somebody shouldn't do. Why is that a chesed that a person shouldn't do that? It refers to it as a chesed because chesed means a breach of boundaries, and that is a negative and inappropriate breach of boundaries. An appropriate breach of boundaries is when I do chesed for another person, when I help somebody across the street, when I go and help them and I help somebody with their homework, when I go and do a chesed for somebody. That's how we say it. When we're doing an act of loving kindness, that's a positive extension of chesed. A negative extension of chesed is going beyond my boundaries. Yira, which is the opposite of that, is remaining within my boundaries. That's the definition of yira. That's the definition of gvura, rather. The definition of gvura is remaining within my boundaries. And an expression of that is yira. I'm afraid to breach those boundaries. I put up those boundaries and keep myself within them. I don't go somewhere I'm not supposed to go. And when I'm building that new house, I need to put up that fence. I need to put up those fences. I need to put up those boundaries of yira that I don't go and follow my desire, my ta'avot, my desires to go beyond my boundaries in ways that are inappropriate. That I stay within my boundaries and where I want to be. Good. it can be interactive if you want it to be. Just letting you know. Definitely feel free to jump in. I've been doing this for 2 years. Depends on the group, but definitely feel free to jump in. I can just keep talking. It's a disease. But if you want to jump in, please jump in.
I have a question.
Yeah, thank you.
I don't understand why it can't go either way. Like I mean, in terms of Ava, like it's hard to talk about Ava because like some people think that we can't even have Ava now. But like in that sense, that like it's too like grand to say like, oh yeah, we have Ava Sashem, like real Ava Sashem. But in terms of like I love God so much and I really want to do His will. So if there's something that's out of the boundaries of His will, I won't do it because I love Him so much.
Good. That is still a balance between Chesed and Gvura, between Ava and Yira. Meaning I love Him so much that I'm going to hold myself back for Him.
Right.
But really I'm holding myself back for Him. That's the important part of the sentence with regards to holding yourself back. And so a lot of times in our minds, if we've gone on a path that's taken us astray, we don't necessarily think that we're doing something wrong. Only when we reflect on it, it's like, this is really not what I should be doing. And often we can rationalize, I'm doing this because I'm doing it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can think I'm doing it for Hashem. And sometimes we're not. And he's not saying not to have Avat Hashem. And he's not saying not to live Chesed, Olam Chesed Yibaneh, the foundations of life are Chesed. However, if you're at a point where you realize you've gone down a path and you really want to start from scratch, start with Yira. Start with boundaries. Then you can start to extend those boundaries and push them out. Then you can start taking down fences that you realize you don't need. Then you can start going beyond your boundaries for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if you're starting from scratch because things didn't go the way you wanted, because you already know deep down in yourself that there were moments where I breached and went beyond myself in a way that wasn't in Avodas Hashem, if you're going to build a Bayit Chadash, then start with Yira. It's specific to the Pasuk. He's not saying not to have Ava. He's not saying not to have Chesed. He's saying specifically in relating to this Pasuk, which is starting about starting a new path, then be extra careful to have extra boundaries. And if you realize that you're able to take some of them down and even open up your Avodas Hashem in new ways by entering into Chesed and Ava in a way that remains Avodas Hashem, absolutely take them down when you're ready. When you're ready.
So what kind of fences are we talking about?
Let's see where he takes us. We'll see if he answers. If he doesn't answer, we'll talk about it. V'inyan v'asita ma'akel agagecha. The idea of, the concept of making a fence around your roof. Gag miramez al rosh adam. The gag, which is the roof, the highest point, it's hinting to the head of a person. A person's gag, a person's rosh, a person's top, a person's head. K'mad ita b'svar makadosh, b'sefer HaKadosh Toldot Yaakov Yosef, as it says in the Toldot Yaakov Yosef, was one of the main talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, who learned directly from the Baal Shem Tov and wrote down a tremendous amount of his writings. Reshit ha'avoda, Kasher tivne bayit chadash, hi vasita ma'agel agagecha. The beginning of the avod of building a new house is making a fence around your roof. Letakin et harosh, to fix a person's head. You mean to fix a person's head? Sounds like something my mother would say, right? You mean to fix your head? What does that mean? Ukedita sheish barosh zayin sha'arei digulgata. Gulgata is the way you say rosh in Aramaic. Head in Aramaic. There are seven openings in the head. The two einayim, the bet einayim, the bet oznayim, the bet nikveh achotem, v'apeh. Two ears, the two nostrils, the two eyes, and the mouth. There are seven openings in the head. Uvisharim elu yaseh gedarim v'siyagim midat ha'yira. And in these gates, meaning these are, in a very powerful way, these are the gates of entry into ourselves. Anything that comes into our bodies, except for the sense of touch, anything that comes into our bodies comes in through our eyes, we see it, comes in through our ears, we hear it, comes in through our mouth, our nose, we smell it, we taste it. Anything that's entering into our being on a literal level and on a metaphysical level, it's entering into our being through the openings that we have in our head. That's the way we take things in. And he's saying that when you're building that new house, when you're reinventing yourself, make sure to put up fences around your rosh, around these parts of your body, specifically around your rosh. Incredibly deep what he just said. That all of these things that are entering in through specifically through our head, these aren't actions that we take. Nobody but HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows when we take things in from these senses, who knows everything that we do and everything that we think. Nobody knows really what we're gazing at. You can know what we see, but you don't know what we're gazing at. When you have your headphones on, nobody knows what you're listening to. When you walk by, nobody knows what senses you're taking in, what you're paying attention, what you're smelling when you're walking by. Very often, people don't notice what you're eating or where it came from. that these are things also where it's very deep and very personal between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Very deep levels of avoda. Things of bonenuts. I mean, I'm sure he's going to tie this into Elul. That's why he's talking about tshuva here. But it's on this time of year, this is what we're thinking about. What do I listen to? Do I listen to secular music? Do I not listen to secular music? If I listen to secular music, do I only listen to certain types of secular music? Do I listen to words to music with curses in it? Do I not listen to music with curses in it? What effect does that have on me? If I don't use those words, why should I listen to them? What do I gaze at? What do I look at? When I'm looking at my computer screen, you know, like what comes on my computer screen? What websites do I go to? What messages do they send? When I'm looking even at things, if you know, it doesn't matter whether it's a guy looking at a girl or a girl looking at a guy or a girl looking at a girl or a guy looking at a guy. When I'm looking on the internet, and there's an ad on the side of a girl who's not dressed. And what does that mean for me in terms of my perspective as a, not me as a woman, but speaking as within this group and this forum, like me as a woman of what tzniut is and bombarding myself with imagery of not tzniut-ness. What impact does that have? What does it have when I watch a movie? And what type of movies do I watch or do I not watch? Televisions do I watch or do I not watch? Even if they're Jewish movies, are the things that I watch and I don't watch. Thinking about those things, when I smell, what do I take in? You know, I happen not to like the smell anyway, but like I gag when I pass by somebody on the street who's wearing like a heavy amount of perfume. You know, but like that, those are smell when you take in. Like, do I want to be breathing in what's on this other woman? I don't want to be breathing that in. But that's something to be bonen on. What smells are we even taking in? When I pass by a non-kosher food store, it's not me. Is it us to smell the food? But what do I want to be taking into my body? What are the gedarim that I'm putting around? When I take things into my mouth, we can talk about at length. You saw it coming. I'm not even going to go there. Those who've been in the chabura before know that we talk extensively over the course of the semester about the importance of eating properly and the tikkun of eating in a proper way with proper health and proper kavanas. And we'll definitely get there. Inevitably, we'll get there. But we won't do that right now because it's still the first one. We want to bring people in slowly but surely. But we spent a whole semester just talking about achila. But what we put in our mouth and how we put it into our mouth, even if it's kosher, is a very, very big amount of thinking about what does that mean. And that's where we can get into, like, somebody sees you, they know you're eating kosher. Are you eating healthy? Why are you eating it? Are you following your taivas when you're eating it? Are you eating it because you want to invigorate yourself to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Are you being molded to a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Are you thanking Kadosh Baruch Hu for the beautiful taste he's giving you when you're eating something? He gave me this food, I have to eat it. If I don't eat it, I'm going to die. But am I molded to a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Thank you, Kadosh Baruch Hu, that you made it that I have to eat this in order to survive, and you made it taste so good at the same time. Whole different levels of achila, and we haven't even begun to talk about it yet. And these are all ways that are very personal. But when it's personal, that's still interpersonal, because it's always me and a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And when I put those fences around myself, on the one hand, I'm fencing out all the things that I don't want. I'm fencing myself in with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and thinking about what that means. And those are the two takes on Ne'ilah. Right? One take on Ne'ilah is that we have to get in the deepest tefillah that we can for a Kadosh Baruch Hu closes the gates after Yom Kippur. The other perspective on Ne'ilah is, no, I'm diving to a Kadosh Baruch Hu that when you close the gates, you lock me inside with you. So different perspectives on Ne'ilah. What's happening when I'm building the Bayit Chadash? I want to lock Kadosh Baruch Hu in with me, and I only want a Kadosh Baruch Hu there. I want it to be yichud with a Kadosh Baruch Hu all the time. That's all I want. In my mind, in my head, in my body, in my guf, in my neshama, I just want to be locked away with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And those are things that all of us can do, and all of us can slowly but surely increase in our Avodas Hashem, what we look at, what we listen to, what we smell, what we taste, what we hear. We can all work on these things slowly but surely, and different levels at different times. The Maseilas Yesharim, the greatest work of Musar possibly ever written, he says, and he talks about getting to the levels of Ruach HaKodesh, he says, Afal Pichin, do it slowly but surely, but you can always work forward. And if you work forward slowly but surely, you'll get there. But he's saying, when you're starting from scratch, build up that fence. Let's go back inside. So he says, V'atafkir HaRishon Hu, the first goal, when you're building that Bayit Chadash, Vasita Ma'agel HaGagecha, to build that fence, Tikunei Sha'arei HaRosh, to fix the gates of the Rosh, Mipnei Shekol Inyanei HaAdam, that everything that a person does, Upe'ulotav, in his actions, Tulim B'Sha'arei D'Gugalata, they're all dependent upon the Sha'arim, the gates of ourselves, for the gates of our Rosh. K'ma'amar Chazal, Ha'ayin Ro'eh, V'Alev Chomed, U'Klei HaMa'aseh Gomrim. Chazal say, the eye sees, then halev chomed, then the heart desires, then the physical action finishes it off. But what starts it off? Meaning, how did it get in me? How did the thought come? It had to get in me somehow. It came in through my eyes first. Then I went searching for it. That's one of the beautiful understandings that I once heard years ago from one of the Gedolei Kabbalah of our generation, Rabbi David Abu Chatzera. I was zochet to sit in his shir one time. And he said that, Lo taturu achari levavachem b'achari nechem is. What does it mean, Lo taturu achari levavachem b'achari nechem? Don't go after your heart and after your eyes. Until I see it, how do I know to go after it or not? So Rabbi David Abu Chatzera said this. He's, again, one of the Gedolei Kabbalah of our generation. He lives in Nahari, I believe. He said, the first time you see something, Kadosh Baruch Hu is not going to hold that against you. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You saw it. It was there. You didn't know it was there. What do you get judged on? What do you need to do the avodah on? Not the first sight. What it does when it enters inside of you. That desire that you have to then go and take a second glance. I just want to see what it was. Was that actually what I thought it was? I'm not so sure. I want to look at it again. When you want to go back. The levavachem comes first because the avodah is coming after you see it, not to look at it the second time. Not to listen to it the second time. Not to go back into the action the second time. And that's what he's saying here as well. The way that anything happens inside of us is because it has to come into us from somewhere. And these are the guards, these are the gates of ourselves. These are our gates. Aval ikar hama'ale shel tzibur, hu b'tzibur pnimi, shel yehudim hakshurim yachdav ki'ish echad b'lev echad. Am I on the totally wrong page? Yeah, that was why I was like, that's not what we're talking about. Sorry, v'kol klei ma'aseh gomrim. Apologize. Sha'atchala, he me'ayin ro'eh hakshura lamoach. Right, that at the beginning, the eye is what connects you to the brain, to the mind. That what gets inside of us is coming from the eyes. The eyes are directly linked to the brain. It's going directly into the closest part of yourself that you can get on a physical level. That's taking to you the neshama that's in your moach. The neshama that's there, that there are certain yiratzans that refer to it as such, that the neshama lies in the moach. And it's bringing it to our neshama. Amru Chazal, kol mechush, velo mechush rosh. Al kein barishona yish lakenet inenei harosh. The beginning is to fix the rosh. That was a pen, not a question. Okay. No, I thought it was a hand going on.
Oh, okay.
Good. Okay. We'll see. We'll finish by. Is everybody okay till 25? That's what I put on, but I don't know what the class schedules actually look like. 25 is okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Zei sora tshuva. This is the foundation of tshuva. Ki tivne bayit chadash, when you build yourself a new house. Livnot et asmo mechadash, to build a person's self up from fresh, a new house. Mehamasad ve'al tfachot, from the foundation all the way to the greatest extremities. V'atkalahi v'asita magel agagecha b'midata yira, the beginning is to make a fence around your roof with the midah of yira. U'kemo shematzinu v'kabalat ha-Torah, as we also see when we receive the Torah fresh at the first time. Sh'atkalahi yita b'midata yira, the beginning was all through yira. K'mo dichtiv v'yecharad kol ha'am asher b'machaneh, that the whole nation was trembling in fear when they first engaged Torah. There was fear that was the beginnings of an understanding of Torah. V'amru chazal sh'atorah nitna be'ema uv'yira beretet uv'zeya, that the Torah was given out of awe and out of fear and out of shaking and out of sweat. We were shaking in awe and fear. In fact, it's why the in Shulchan Aruch it brings down, I think it's the Ramah who brings it down, that he talks about shuckling during davening and Lima Torah. Because he says that when we learn Torah, we're supposed to shuckle, just like we were shaking and trembling at Ma'amad Har Sinai, to remember that when we learn Torah, it's like we're mamash standing at Ma'amad Har Sinai, that we should actually shake. That's one of the places where shuckling comes from, that we should be shaking like we're standing at Har Sinai. We should be shaking like we're standing there receiving the Torah Mechadash. Odi Shlomar, Tekishem Sheba Adam Yishrosh, Kach Bashana Yishrosh Hashana. Just like a person has a Rosh, everything has a Rosh, so too the Shana has a Rosh, every single year has its Rosh. Every single year has this Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the year, the Rosh of the year. Shubechinat Rosh Shel Kol Hashanah. That it has the aspect of it actually being the head of the entire year. And just like our whole being extends from our Rosh down, the highest level of self, the beginning of ourself is our Rosh, so too, everything, the seeds of the entire year are embedded in Rosh Hashanah. That's why we get judged in Rosh Hashanah, because all of the seeds get planted in Rosh Hashanah and they just spread over the course of the year. But everything is coming from the Rosh of Rosh Hashanah. This is also being hinted to in the phrase "kitiv nevayit chadash," when you build a new house. When a Jew wants to rebuild him or herself fresh on Rosh Hashanah, the way of doing this is by building a fence around the roof. To hold on to the midah of yira during these days of Rosh Hashanah. It says in the Svarim that the work of a Jew, in the days of awe, in the days of yira, in the days of nora'ah, in the days of awe, tzrichah liot midata yira, they have to be through yira. Kevan shelemala hem yimedin Just like up above, these days are days of din, and like we talked about before, din is and gvura and yira are all connected, right? Judgment is about setting a fence and a boundary, right? That's what a din is. Up until this point and not farther, I'm making a judgment. I'm making a decision. So these are days of yira. These are days of fences. These are days of gvulim. So if up above these are the yimei din, so too down by ourselves, we're doing our own din by putting up our fences, by working on a way of yira. U'pashtut ha'tam, humipnei shirak al yedei midat ha'yira, hitkayim ha'tshuva. And in the simplest way, the reason is because the only way that tshuva is going to work, that's going to stand, is if it's through yira. She is sora tshuva, that the foundation of tshuva is through yira. The foundation of tshuva means to come back. I went too far. Back to the chesed. I went too far. And now I'm doing tshuva. I need to come back and make sure that I don't stray again. And I'm putting up that fence. And it could be that I could either decide that there's places that I still want to go out farther over the course of the year. Or it could be that once I put up that fence, I turn around and I realize there's a whole big field around me that I never explored before on Avodas Hashem. But either way, I went too far. I come back to a Kadosh Baruch Hu and I put up that fence. And I hold myself back in. And then I can work from there. That's what we're doing with tshuva. He's saying in a very beautiful way. He's tying it in. Vinei. Maran HaKadosh Mikuvrin Zechotoy Gan Aleinu Amar Ki Kol Inyanei HaTshuva VaTikunim Zmanam BeChodesh Elul. All of the Inyanei of Tshuva, all of the ideas of Tshuva and the Tikunim, the fixing that we're making, they're all happening in Chodesh Elul. Ach Barosh HaShana HaAvodahi LeAmluchei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Kol Eiver VeEiver Delay. That all of Elul is about trying to work to do tshuva. But on Rosh Hashanah, the avoda of Rosh Hashanah is la'amluchi, to bring a malchus, to bring a reigning, a ruling of Kadosh Baruch Hu on every sense of my being, on down to every single limb that I have, to every part of my body. V'hainu shebechodesh Elul, hu hazman lehit konein levinyan habayit chadash. Elul is the time to prepare oneself to build that house, to draw up the plans, to think about the fences, to think about the structure of the house, to think about who I want to be. V'hazman le'orir yirat shamayim bechol inyanim, and to bring about yirat shamayim in all levels. U'mehay taima, tokim ba'shofar bechodesh Elul, and this is one of the reasons why we blow shofar in chodesh Elul every day after shachars. Ki ha'shofar me'orir yirat, because the shofar brings about fear. It's this sharp sound, this cry out, that strikes you to stop, to take a step back. Where am I? What am I doing? Can you really blow a shofar in a town and the whole town won't shake? A time when we were able to actually relate to these things. Right? You would blow the shofar and people would fear. An army was coming. There was a battle coming. Something happened. The shofar was a warning signal. We don't even have to think so far. When sirens go off in Israel and people jump and they stand in fright and they run and they go down and put themselves into a bomb shelter. When you hear the siren go off, when you hear the sound of the shofar, when you hear the siren go off and you're standing in Israel, what do? You run to a safe place with walls. You run to a place which has a me'akeh. You run to a place which has borders and boundaries that's safe. When you hear the shofar, especially after the summer, to think about it like that. I never thought about it like that until now, but you think about it like that. That's what the shofar is doing. It's that sound, it's that siren that's sounding to come. And there are spiritual rockets coming out at us. And it's time to go and protect ourselves and come back to a yichud with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. To come back to a yichud with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. To go back to the base measures. To go back to the base kenesses. That's what we're trying to do. The Amru Chazal, Charadam Esalekat Adamim, that fear can remove the blood, which is meant in a different context. Hainusha Yiram Esalekat Adam, that fear removes the blood, meaning Dama Tameid, the impure blood, Asher Ba'adam, that it can remove the impure blood, meaning it the fright comes and removes the impurities. The Dam is a physical part of us where a lot of the heat of the blood that comes to want us to do things that we shouldn't be doing. It removes, the fear removes the Dam, it removes the negative impulses in the Dam. It removes the tum'ah and the dam. V'zeu reishita tikun shal kivnei bayit chadash. This is the beginning of the fixing of building a new house. K'mo de'ita b'zohar HaKadosh, as it says, pekuda kadma da yirat Hashem, dichtiv reishit chokma yirat Hashem. At the beginning of everything, the first instance, the beginning, the nakuda, the point from which everything else extends is going to be the yirat Hashem, that we bring out in order to then extend further and further and further in terms of what our avodas Hashem means. Rajam, we should all be zoche to decide what parts of ourselves we want to leave behind, to build our own bayit chadash, to work on that over the course of Elul, to decide what our fences are going to be, to decide and move forward a little bit in our avodas Hashem, in our eyes, in our nose, in our ears, in our mouth, in every aspect of our being, what comes into our body and who we are, and through that be able to hear the sound of the shofar, to hear the siren of the shofar, to be able to do tshuva, to come back to a Kadosh Baruch Hu and experience the beautiful yichud of a Kadosh Baruch Hu that exists within those walls. Bezrat Hashem.
Thank you.